The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territory and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
I want to invite your attention to someone who sends this to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10. If I am to read from the verse number 1, I believe you'll find these words, but I'm going to pitch my tent at the verses 4 and 5. But from the verse number 1, you'll find the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father. A father becomes happy when a son is wise. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You just don't want to be a foolish son to your parents. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he cast away the substance of the wicked. The verse number 4, come home now. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that you give us a word that works, O God. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. To the end, Father God, we will say you are the one who spoke to your people. Speak to me, speak through me, speak for me. That the excellency of the power will be of you. That at the end of the day, your church will be edified. But you will be glorified. In the mighty name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I am excited to come your way this morning to share with you some of these powerful truths of all time. It's not just of this age. I believe that the ages or the generations gone by still held these priceless virtues and vices in close calls. They were just looking at them, observing every protocol, like observing the COVID protocols. They were observing them because they believed that the making or the unmaking of a man were hinged on the deadly sins or the life virtues. The cardinal sins or the life virtues. They believed that. And over the past 3 weeks, those of you that are joining up for the very first time, I started by talking to you about the need to always do an inspection, do an introspection, to do your own environmental scannings and check around your life and see where you fall short so that you can play up. I started by talking about the mother of all sins. It was pride that sent the devil, sent Lucifer out of the heavenly realm, out of the sight of God. He was the closest. He was a cherub that was singing, leading the angelic host into worship. He was dear to the heart of God. And one day he said, I want to be like him. I want to lift myself like him. And the idea I was telling you, the name Michael is a taunting challenge. It's a mental taunting name, taunting challenge. The name Michael is a questing. So when somebody is named Michael, Michael is a questing. And the question that Michael postulates or posits is, who is like God? And so not that Michael is like God, but Michael was the name that popped up when the devil rose to be like God. And the name Michael was just, who is like God? He was the angel that stood to defend that cause. But what happened? Somebody decided to arrogate unto himself the divine, unique, special prerogatives that belong to God. That's pride. Pride is when a man arrogates unto himself the divine privileges, the prerogatives, the unique prerogatives that are only available to God. When you decide, let me be like him, An arrogant man is a man who believes that he has come far because of his hard work. That's an arrogant man. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received what you have, why therefore do you then boast? So if you see any man that is boastful, that man is just showing that it's my hard work, it's my wisdom, it's my intellect, it's my ability to maneuver, it's my ability to get things done that has brought me this far. There is nobody that has ever walked with God. There is nobody that had ever had an encounter with God that walks in pride. Actually, Jesus was all powerful. He was fully God. He was a fully man without controversy. And yet kids were free, even though they were playing in debt and they were dirty and they were sweaty and they probably whatever, but they were able to feel comfortable to go to Jesus because he did not exhibit any form of arrogance or pride. I tell you this, and I kid you not, show me a man that had met God, and I'll show you a man that walks in humility. Show me a man that has been truly blessed by God, and I'll show you a man that walks in humility. Show me a man that lavishly lives and arrogant unto himself the divine, unique prerogatives that are only God's. Show me a man that disrespects people, walk over people, does not honor, does not love, does not respect people, and uses his money to probably bully everybody around. And I'll show you a man that has never had an encounter with God. I'll show you a man that walks in pride. I'll show you a man that has no relationship, no barrier, nothing at all. Nothing. And I told you that the life virtue to that of pride is humility. From the word, etymologically from humilitas, from the same word humus, which means the earth or the ground. And I told you the last time that I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago that God, what God is saying is that instead of us being puffed up, let us go to the ground. For Jesus, although he was fully God and fully man, humbled himself even to the point of death, death on the cross. Is it not strange that God could walk in humility and man struggle to walk in humility? I just came to tell you, child of God, that if you really want God to lift you up, if you really want God to elevate you, if you really want God to honor you, if you really want God to place you in a position of power and influence, learn to walk in humility. For God resists the proud, but makes room, gives grace. That's what the Bible say, gives grace. But in other renditions, God makes room for the humble. So there are people whose lives are receiving what is called the divine resistance. It's no devil resisting them. They have God to contend with. There are people who is God that is fighting. If a man is fighting against a man, God can intervene. If a man is fighting against demons, God can still intervene. But what happens when that man is fighting, has God as the opponent? When we say God opposes, it's not hatred. It's not dislike. Oppose means God resists them. God pushes them back. God doesn't allow them to rise. Mm-hmm. If you really want to rise, child of God, I just came to give you this short word. But if you really want to rise, if you want to be impactful, if you want the generation to come to realize and to know that you walked in power, you walked in might, and you did things that were powerful, and you served your generation well, I kid you not, walk in humility. Humilitas, from humus. Go to the ground. Be on the ground. Get close to the earth. Go down. You are too puffed up. Go down. You are too arrogant. Go down. You trust in your beauty too much. Go down. You rely on your money too much. Go down. You think that you are the most intelligent person. Go down. You behave as if you are the wisest man to have ever lived. Go down. Humble yourself. You prayed. And unfortunately, these days, we have a lot of people who probably are getting into ministry. They pray for somebody and somebody fell under the power of the Holy Ghost. And because of that, when he's coming, he has somebody holding his towel or his handkerchief. Somebody's holding one phone. This one is holding one phone. This one. Cool down. Humble yourself. Walk in humility. There was a time I was going to buy something from a shop, and I was going to get something for my child, and I was going. I got into that mother care stuff, and all of it. It just opened, and I saw a lot of people standing outside. But now it was that time that they were going, so I got in, and I said, "But what happened here? And they said, oh, that pastor was coming to shop for the child, and so we had to close it up for him to finish buying before we open for other people. And I was wondering, who? Young man. Very young man. I'm way older than him, called into ministry way longer than he has served in ministry, and all the other things. But the level of arrogance and pride, cool down. That's why we are not seeing the power of God in our times. There are too many people that God really wants to use. God wants to deploy. God wants to make them impactful. But their level of pride and arrogance is stopping them from getting favor, finding grace with God, favor with God. The next thing I spoke to you about in the course of the weeks, those of you that had not followed till now, was envy. And envy is when you insult the sovereignty of God and you begin to question God's judgment. And you're asking yourself those critical questions, probably existential. And you're asking, why is it that person and not me? That is when somebody is walking in envy. And I spoke to you that the worst form of envy, said hundreds of years ago, was that which they called invidia clericalis. That is the envy amongst pastors. That you cannot, these days is amazing. Hear another pastor talk about another pastor, and it will make you sick to your stomach. But it's not new, it's always been there. 1,000 years plus ago, they said it was the worst form of envy, where men that were supposed to build together tear apart, when people that are supposed to push up rather pull down. But that's not my preoccupation for today. I spoke to you last week about anger. I told you that anger is when you are possessed with that passion for revenge that numbs your reasoning. So we say somebody is angry, and when somebody is angry, the person fails to even think through the lines. Anger will make you do horrible things. Anger will make somebody kill a child. Anger will make somebody kill a dad. Anger will make somebody kill a mom. Anger will make somebody kill a wife or kill a husband. Anger will send you to jail. Anger will, even if it doesn't send you to a physical jail, it will send you to an eternal torture in your heart. You will never be able to get out of that prison that you yourself will drive into. Listen, I told you that what will help you overcome envy was admiration. What will also help you to overcome anger is forgiveness. So when you are struggling with envy, if you are somebody that when somebody gets something, the first thing that comes to mind, oh, but I should have gotten it. If you are like that, you are insulting God. Again, if God blesses your neighbor, it means God is in the neighborhood. And so if God has blessed your neighbor, you can only be happy for your neighbor. Now, whenever you do that, you tell God that, God, I am ready for something that is bigger because I have room to contain it. The size of your envy will always determine what can come to you. Because whatever you envy, you can't exceed. You can never be bigger than somebody who has 1,000, and because of 1,000, you lose sleep. And unfortunately, if you are struggling with that, there is a cure. There is a life virtue that will make up, that will, according to Dante, in his Purgatory, you realize that what will help you overcome envy is admiration. Celebrate other people. Admire them. Be happy for them. When they are doing well, clap them on. When they cheer them on, encourage them. Tell them you are doing well. I am happy for you. I thank God for that car that you had. I thank God for that new house. I thank God for that marriage. I'm happy for that. I'm not talking about lip service, whereby you are saying it, but it's eating you on the inside. No, I'm saying that you say it and you mean it. You mean what you say what you mean. You don't happen to say what you don't happen to mean. So whatever you say, you happen to mean it. And so you say it, you mean it. You mean it, you say it. Admire them. When that friend of yours, that you know that you are the one who even taught her how to dress well, came and told you that, oh, I'm bringing you my wedding invitation. You don't go into the bedroom and you start crying. You don't say, God, see this girl. I even gave her my used clothes. Now she is getting married. You don't walk in that level of envy. You don't walk in envy. You don't allow envy to eat you up. Rather, you are happy for her, because sometimes when a king is coming, the linguists, they are the ones that will take the lead. So maybe theirs are coming early because theirs happen to be the linguists and the messengers and all of that. Your king is behind. But if you try to stop the messengers from passing, the king will never come. And the reason, most of you have delayed your own marriages, your own breakthroughs, because of those single, simple acts of envy. And you just closed the door on yourself. Admiration will kill that. When you walk, if you have anger issues, and maybe you are taking anger management courses, you've managed anger, you've done anger 101, anger 603, anger 605, maybe you've done anger 702, you've done anger management in all forms, in all shapes, but anger, the way out of anger is forgiveness. Always remember this, that you deserve to be forgiven. You desire to be forgiven because you need to be forgiven. And if God is to forgive you, you have no right not to forgive other persons. Yes, I understand. I'm not trying to live in an abstract world. I understand there are some people that what they do, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I strongly agree. I agree. How can somebody who raped you, you say that are forgiving the rapist? I agree. Took away something that was precious to you. Probably took away your pride, and you are asking yourself, no, this one I can't. I came to talk to you, child of God, that it is a requirement of the saved, it is a responsibility of the redeemed to forgive. We have done horrible things ourselves. We've done things that we are also not proud of. And yet our Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, eternal counsel, out of His benevolence, His magnanimity, out of His love and His compassion, He did forgive us. He expects us to do the same. Today I want to share with you a layer. I'm just adding layers to it. Next week I'll add another layer to it. But today I want to add a layer to it. A beautiful layer they called it sloth. Sloth is also an animal. It's a mammal though. It can sleep all day. Sloth is a terrible thing that is supposed to be identified, or that could be identified with any human being. Sloth is not something that we should encourage. It's a deadly, in fact, when you look at Dante's work, if you look at the Purgatory, if you look at all the works, even from St. Thomas Aquinas and those that have gone before us, they will put sloth in the middle, and they will tell you it lies at the heart, at the center of all the vices as well. Sloth or laziness. Now let's look at it again. Laziness, sloth. And in the book of Proverbs chapter number 10, the verses 4 and 5, he becometh poor that deals with a slack hand. Now what the book of Proverbs is telling me is that poverty is as a result of laziness. That there are young men, there are young women that can do better for themselves. They can rise and make their lives count, but they are sitting down. They are not doing anything. They are not working with their hands. They are not doing anything. And let me tell you this, child of God, if you really want to prosper and do well, do not shy away from enterprise. Hard work is crucial. It is the blessings of the Lord that maketh the rich. He added no sorrow. That's what the Bible says. It didn't say he has no work. So there is work, but just that there is no sorrow to the work. Sorrow to the work can come from so many things. Vain labor is sorrow from work. You do more, you get the much input, less output. It's sorrow to work. It's the blessings of the Lord that maketh a man rich. He hath no sorrow. But a man ought to work, for he that worketh not must not eat. A man ought to work. You want to do, you want to be celebrated, you want to rise up, you want to be lifted, and yet you are afraid, you are shy, you are lazy, you don't want to go out, you don't want to work, you don't want to do anything. I just came to speak to a new generation. Men and women that are listening to the sound of my voice right now, that God is telling me to tell you, that rise up from your sleep and from your slumber and sleep no more and get yourself up and start working, start doing something. We are living in a generation so poor, a generation so backward, a generation that thinks that the only way out is to get money rituals, a generation that is thinking that the only way to get money is to get into sakawa, a generation that is thinking that the only way out is to get into robbery and to steal and to deceive and to take from people who already have. But I came to tell you that God is ready to bless this generation, but he wants you to get out of your sleep and out of your slumber, and God wants you to get yourself up and start working. A lot of you want to drive in Mercedes Maybach, drive in Land Cruisers, drive in Lexus, drive in Bentleys, drive in Rolls Royces, drive in all the powerful cars, the Porsches, or the Porsche cars and all of that, all the powerful machinery, the all Maserati, all the cars that you, Bugatti, well, all the cars you, every young man, you have it, you've posted it on your wall, and you wake up and you've sentenced yourself to this life-threatening torture. You see Bugatti pasted on your wall, and the only place you can have it is on your wall. You can never have it. Why? Until you get yourself up and you start working. That dream of yours to sit in a Bugatti, you will sit in it in your dream. You are itching for things you can't scratch. But I came to tell and speak to a new generation that God wants you to scratch that itch. Get up from your sleep, from your slumber, and start doing something. Work. You are not in this world to be a mere statistic. You are not here so that probably a politician will throw at you 100 Ghana city or something and tell you to vote. No. You are here to make life count. And the reason why people have taken you for cheap and you're saying, oh, and then I meet a girl and the girl doesn't. Who should marry your lazy self? If my daughter wants to marry your lazy self, I will advise my daughter, pray her out of marrying you. Who should marry your lazy self? So that when my daughter is sick, my daughter will run back home and say, Daddy, I'm sick, I need to go to the... What is that husband of yours doing? You've lost my name. You took my name from my daughter's life. You slapped your name on my daughter. And you can't take her. God, hold me. Sloth is a sin. It's deadly. Because it makes people think, they imagine, and yet they can't live it. Sloth will make you weed, clear a farmland in your head, and it will never translate into reality. Sloth, laziness will make you procrastinate. Laziness will tell you that tomorrow you can get it done. Laziness will kill you quicker than anything. Sloth is something that God doesn't want you to have. Sloth is something that should be extricated from your soul, from your life. It should be banished from your territory. You shouldn't walk in it. Sloth is not your portion. Who said that only sitting at home and praying will open the heavens and bring manna unto you? It doesn't work that way. Oh, and I've been working, I've been applying, I've been going places and sending CVs and sending applications. Who told you every job demands application? There are some jobs that do not demand application. You just show up. There are people who are into construction and they are feeding families. If I see a man who is saying that, oh, I need, get me anything. I just, even if I can use it to buy Gary and to feed myself and my kids. Sometimes you feel like giving that person a good spank. Because there are men like yourself who go to the construction site and carry mortar or blocks or cement. And after that, they are paid and they have earned a living. Sloth will cause you to lose your sense of humanity. It will cause you to trade your dignity. Sloth or laziness will make you sacrifice your dignity, your integrity, your humanity on the anvils of people's benevolence. Watch this, child of God. He doesn't want you to walk like that. He doesn't want you to live like that. Go back to the original setting that God had placed man therein. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Verse number 28. And God, verse number 25. God had created man and woman. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. He blessed them. Genesis chapter number 2. Out of the earth, God formed man. Or maybe one day I have to preach this. You think God, there is a repetition in the Bible. Because when you look at Genesis chapter 1, the verse number 25, going, you see God created man and woman. Male and female created he them. The chapter number 2, you see God now creating Adam. Before the deep sleep had fallen on Adam and Eve had been created. Because, let me not go there. Let me just stay in sloth or laziness. One day I'll preach that to you, don't worry, if Jesus tarries. But watch the test. God had placed them both in the garden. And what did God do? He said unto them, till the land and keep it. So when God brought Adam and Eve into the garden of Eden, they did not come for vacation. They came to work. It's just the utopian dream of some people that I don't know what is wrong with them, but that utopian dream will always become a dystopian nightmare over time, because they will realize that life doesn't work like that. God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, but it was not for vacation. Who told you Adam and Eve were sightseeing and on vacation? When God placed them in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't so. When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God placed them there, and God's words to them was, dress it and keep it. Dress, keep it. Till the land, work on the land. So God brought them into his company to work in his establishment. Who told you that God doesn't want you to work? Maybe you're a man of God, you're a pastor, you are watching me right now. Can I tell you something, child of God? If your ministry is not that demanding, if you don't have to be in the church 24 hours, if you don't have to be in the church 7 days a week, could you please find something else to do? Find something else to do! Don't allow the happiness of your family to be in the hands of other people. That if you are going to do well, it's because somebody gave you a handout. That if your kids are going to say, Dad, thank you, it's because somebody gave you a handout. No! Take hold of your own life and your own destiny. Make your life count. Don't be lazy. We do command your morning. We are doing Wednesdays. We are doing Sundays. We are doing Saturdays. We are doing Friday all night. Yet we still make time to teach a school, sit on board meetings, go and negotiate businesses, go and get things done. Why? Because you cannot be lazy and excel. If you really want to do well, overcome this cardinal sin called sloth. And of course, there are life virtues, that of hard work, that of enterprise, that of making sure that you have what we also call, yes, holy indignation or holy wrath or righteous indignation, whereby you look at yourself and you are angry at the situation where you're in, you find yourself, and you tell yourself, no, I deserve better than this, and you push yourself up. I want to pray with you, child of God. But I want you to understand this. The days of manna are over. Men create their manna. The days of manna, may I rewind and press play? The days of manna are over. Men are creators of their own manna. God will help you if you choose to help yourself. God will help you if you choose to help yourself. Don't be lazy. Don't tell me I'm waiting on, you've been waiting. Oh, why are you not working? I'm waiting on God. And I heard that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Who told you that? Even the ones that waited on God for the longest time, they waited for 40 days. And that was Moses. When Jesus came, he also did his waiting for 40 days. How long do you want to wait before you get a direction? Maybe God has told you something. Would you please get yourself up and start? Start that dream. Start that business. It might be small. It doesn't matter. Every big tree has been small before. It must be small. It might be small. But you can make it big. You can grow it. You can watch over it. And what started probably from the backyard or the garage or a single room can become a conglomerate. Who told you God doesn't do miracles in our times? He does them, but he does them through men and with men.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Wedinyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.